Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook paper and pen to take notes during the show. What we have been doing for some months now is exploring the myths about money. Our money system is not what we have been led to believe. The creation of money has been privatized or taken over by a private money cartel. Except for coins, all of our money is now created as loans advanced by private banking institutions, including the private Federal Reserve. Banks create the principal, but not the interest, to service their loans. To find the interest, new loans must continually be taken out, expanding the money supply, inflating prices, and robbing you of the value of your money. We've been specifically looking at a book called The Web of Debt, which unravels the deception and presents a clear picture of the financial abyss towards which we are heading. It then explores workable alternatives and is an important foundational start in understanding the way the economy is set up in the United States and beyond. The author is Ellen Brown, and it is a book that everyone should read. Again, The Web of Debt. In the solution area, we have tapped into a number of sources and resources, in particular the Thrive Movement source and website, thrivemovement.com. We specifically investigated into the top 10 actions, what you can do in terms of solutions. Those, as a brief review, are: 1. Get informed, speak up, and connect with others. 2. Bank locally. 3. Buy and invest responsibly. 4. Join the movement to audit and end the Federal Reserve. 5. Keep the internet fair and open. 6. Support independent media. 7. Support organic, non-GMO farming. 8. Require election and campaign finance reform. 9. Advocate for renewable and free energy. And 10. Take part in critical mass actions. It's very important to understand that healing the economy just doesn't have to do with the production of money by the Federal Reserve and how that interfaces with the international banking cartel. What is really required is to look at the entire gem of life and how making changes in very fundamental areas, as just noted with the top 10 actions, all from the root level, will change the way the economy has evolved. We can ultimately discover that rather than living in a domination pyramidal type economy in which all the benefits move up to the top of the pyramid, we can create a more nurturing partnership kind of economy. And this is being done in true democratic ways in various parts of the world, but unfortunately not in the United States very much right now, due to the strength of the corporate power block and its mindset, which runs through the education system. Regardless, people are starting to wake up, and the Thrive Movement website is just one example of that awakening. With respect to the top 10 actions, we looked at some details in each one of those areas over the last few shows. and ended the last show in a discussion on promoting new energy technologies and finally reducing your reliance on fossil fuels. So let's review that last segment a little bit. There was an article in Mother Nature Network which discussed Gulf-friendly product guide alternatives to petroleum-based goods. The Gulf disaster brought into cruel relief our reliance on petroleum-based products and made it all too clear how much that reliance is costing us and our environment. Reducing our dependence on oil means burning less gas by carpooling, taking public transportation, bicycling, and walking. But we consume oil in many everyday products without even knowing it, and excess plastic packaging only adds to the problem. In this ongoing awakening, we can look at how oil is used in products and how to stretch our resources further by choosing petroleum-free products, recycling plastic waste, and buying items with recycled content. From the petroleum problem side, plastic food storage containers, packaging, and cups are an issue. Almost all of the plastics found in a typical American kitchen are made from petroleum-based polymers. Several different variations of these synthetic plastics make up almost everything from milk jugs to insulation products to packaging. From the article's Gulf-friendly alternative, what we do is we buy in bulk, bring your own containers and cups, or otherwise reduce your use of packaging whenever feasible. Reuse plastic food containers like yogurt cups where you can, and look for products packaged in recycled content and recyclable materials. Bioplastics or compostable plastics made from renewable resources may be preferable to synthetic polymers, especially if they are made from agricultural waste, such as bagasse or straw. But better still are stainless steel products or glass containers, which are long-lived and more readily recyclable than most plastics. As for beverage containers, when on the go, consider bringing a reusable water bottle to avoid the need to purchase single-use beverage containers. If you do need to buy single-use beverages, you may be able to choose aluminum cans or glass bottles instead of plastic bottles. Recycle used beverage containers too. A second area was plastic bags. From the petroleum problem side, the production of plastic bags is a petroleum-intensive process, and these non-biodegradable items end up littering our landscapes and landfills. The Gulf-friendly alternative, the UN is calling for a global ban of plastic bags, but in the meantime, it's easy to limit our consumption of plastic bags at the grocery store or anywhere else we shop. Bring reusable bags on your next shopping trip. Just be sure to wash your reusable bag intermittently. If you already have a stack of plastic bags building up at your house, reuse them wherever possible for food storage, trash can liners, pet waste, etc. And also check with your local grocery store or local waste management authority to see if they take back bags for recycling. Another area is laundry detergent. From the petroleum problem point, the majority of laundry detergents are derived from petroleum and also contain other harmful chemicals. Not only not good for the environment, but not good for your health. The Gulf-friendly alternative is look for plant-based biodegradable products. The Natural Products Association, which requires that 95% of ingredients must be derived from natural sources, now certifies cleaners and detergents. According to Seventh Generation, if the 107 million U.S. households each replaced a single bottle of conventional detergent with one using plant-based ingredients, the total oil savings could provide a year's heating and cooling for 8,500 homes. You could also go to this or that, laundry detergent powder versus liquid, to get some more information. Go to www.nrdc.org /enterprise/greening advisor. And then there's a category on laundry. Again, it's www.nrdc.org/enterprise/greening advisor. And I'll return with this in a moment. If you are just tuning in, this is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Coming back to products, another area most of us would never think of is gum, the petroleum problem. Gum was originally made from natural chicle, but now its long-lasting rubbery consistency comes from petroleum-based polymers. Goodyear, the tire and rubber company, actually supplies Wrigley's gum with a large portion of its main ingredients. There are still a few brands of gum that can be found in health food stores or online that use natural chicle and no petroleum products. However, if you're looking for something a little more accessible, try satisfying your minty cravings with natural herbal mints. Then there's the crayon problem. Crayons are most commonly made with paraffin wax, a petroleum-derived product. Over 12 million crayons are produced every day by one factory alone in the U.S. This amounts to 60 tons of petroleum-derived crayons daily. The gulf-friendly alternative is look for petroleum-free craft supplies like natural beeswax and soy wax crayons. Options include Stubby Pencil Studio crayons, which are made from a combination of plant and vegetable waxes, and pure beeswax, and Prang crayons, which use a soybean-based wax. Another petroleum problem area is candles. Candles are a product that uses a paraffin wax base, a byproduct of petroleum refining. Contaminants in paraffin, such as toluene, benzene, methyl ethyl ketone, and naphthalene, substances found in paint, lacquer, and varnish removers, make it a particularly problematic choice for candles, since they may enter the air we breathe at home. The American Lung Association also notes that recent studies suggest that burning candles increases pollution by fine particles. The gulf-friendly alternative is to use candles made from soy wax, beeswax, and essential oils, which are fairly easy to come across and do not include the contaminants found in paraffin, so their smoke poses less of a health threat. Then there's the issue of canned food. Food additives, including sodium benzoate, FD and C red 40 and yellow 5, put in canned goods to extend their shelf life and give them an unnaturally appealing color, are yet more petrochemicals. The human body is not designed to consume petrochemicals, so there are many possible risks behind overprocessed foods. New studies are linking food dye consumption to ADHD. Bisphenol A, or BPA, a chemical commonly found in can linings, is widely known to interfere with hormone production and is therefore associated with various diseases. Many varieties of additives have already been banned, and you can see a full list at the Thrive Movement website. Unfortunately, more of these ingredients remain in grocery stores. The gulf-friendly alternative is, wherever possible, buy fresh organic produce and limit purchases of canned food. Frozen food in recyclable cardboard as well as foods packaged in glass also make a suitable alternative to cans. And finally, another example is lip balm. Most lip balm brands use a petroleum jelly base, which may provide short-term comfort, but is easy to ingest, which can cause stomach upset and diarrhea. The gulf-friendly alternative is beeswax and shea butter-based lip balms, which have no known negative health effects. So just in summary, 93% of American plastics start with natural gas or oil. Avoid single-use plastic products as much as possible And the information I just gave was from the Mother Nature Network. And the article was written for Simple Steps by Julia Black. The next solution I want to just briefly touch upon is the critical mass action. What critical mass actions are taking place? Well, this to a great extent is up to you. In short, you have to partner with other organizations to help mobilize what is necessary to achieve an effective critical mass action when the issues you value most become evident. Actions should be organized with integrity, transparency, and always designed to be nonviolent. And then there's the issue of whether or not you have to travel to be part of a critical mass action. They can take a variety of forms. You organize online campaigns that mobilize millions of people across the world to participate in an economic boycott. You show up in unison for a demonstration. You help to provide the means to achieve this, and you determine which actions take place and add the power to make them effective. Remember, this is grassroots change. It's a collective consciousness awakening, which ultimately radiates out to the corporate world, the banking world, the government, and effectively the entire world. Now, what are some highlight points in choosing these actions? One good example, of course, is the Thrive Movement website. Go there and study it, and you'll discover a lot. The essential solutions that were raised on the website can lead to key leveraged events to help bring about those solutions. Remember, by rallying a critical mass of people, we can impact the economics of an issue and attract the attention of the media to get the coverage and response these issues deserve. And how will you know when an action reaches critical mass? Well, as actions gain momentum and the most popular ones become apparent, you set apart a target number for critical mass. Keep in touch via email to make sure you know when you're approaching critical mass. What determines an effective critical mass will vary according to the nature of the action to be taken. The critical mass number will be announced as far in advance as possible and will be determined by what would create significant impact and assure optimal security for the participants. Now, does this work? Of course, and it's been done before. Strategies were used in Malikundra Bambara, Senegal, for young women who wanted to stop the traditional practice of female genital cutting. If just one woman refused the practice, she was ostracized from the community. But as soon as the woman got organized and agreed to refuse genital cutting as entire villages, they put an end to it. The campaign spread successfully throughout Senegal, Guinea, Burkina Faso, and other areas of Africa, and now thousands of women are able to safely avoid this violation. So also, by going to the Thrive Movement website into the actions area, there are a lot of places to sign up for important fundamental issues. For example, auditing the Federal Reserve. This, of course, is one of the top priorities. We need to address the corruption of the Federal Reserve. It's a secretive, privately run bank. It has a monopoly on creating money, and it has been robbing the American people through inflation, bailouts, favoring special interests, and charging interest on money created out of thin air. Since the Federal Reserve was created in 1913, the purchasing power of the dollar has plummeted by 96%. With Congressman Ron Paul, who is a vocal critic of the Federal Reserve, as chairman of the House Financial Services Subcommittee on Domestic Monetary Policy, a meaningful audit is looking more possible. There's actually a website, auditthefed.com, and it has established a large coalition of organizations to lobby Congress for legislation allowing a full and legitimate audit of the Federal Reserve, and you can sign their petition for an audit and also show your interest on the Thrive website so they can keep in touch and grow the support base. As in all kinds of major changes, a meaningful audit of the Fed will likely require additional simultaneous actions in order to be successful. Campaign finance reform is a very important piece. Congress will only change the laws and conduct an audit when politicians are held accountable to their constituents rather than to corporate and banking interests. So that's also a very important critical point to work on campaign finance reform. And I'll be back with this in a moment. If you are just tuning in, this is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now, besides actually auditing the Federal Reserve, how about a nationwide rally to end the Federal Reserve? It may, of course, be that the American people will need an audit before they are ready to end the Federal Reserve and to learn about it. Either way, we ultimately want to see it shut down, and it will require a variety of actions. Thrive, for example, is promoting a national protest at regional Federal Reserve banks around the country to gain awareness for the movement. The regional Federal Reserve banks are located in San Francisco, Kansas City, Dallas, Minneapolis, Chicago, St. Louis, Atlanta, Cleveland, Richmond, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, New York, and Boston. But along with that, we also need alternative currencies to challenge the Federal Reserve's monopoly on creating money, campaign finance reform at the state and federal level, more media coverage, think tanks to brainstorm the transition away from the Federal Reserve, and more. If you would like to partner in organizing and implementing critical mass actions to end the Federal Reserve, you can contact people at the Thrive Movement. Another step of progress is to create a GMO-free zone. Genetically modified organisms, GMOs, are poisoning our food supply, our bodies, and even diminishing our fertility. GMOs are threatening our ability to save our own seeds and grow healthy organic food. Creating a GMO-free zone involves taking action with a critical mass of people in your city, county, or region to create the zone. Pair up with others and start a domino effect to sweep the nation and get rid of GMOs altogether. If you are interested in this action, again, go to the Thrive Movement website and you can actually sign up. The USDA and the FDA are supposed to be protecting and promoting our health, but frankly, they are doing neither. The USDA is actually a co-owner in major GMO patents. These government agencies should require labeling of GMOs as a first step to raise awareness about their dangers. We have a right to know what's in our food. The USDA headquarters are in Washington, D.C., and FDA headquarters are in Silver Spring, Maryland. So you can go to protests, which would, of course, require some traveling, but could have a large effect on ultimately banning GMO products. Specifically, Monsanto is a multinational agricultural biotechnology corporation that is the main producer of genetically engineered seeds and the herbicide Roundup. The company has waged vicious campaigns to shut down small organic growers and make farmers around the world dependent on their seeds. Monsanto's policies threaten our own existence. Monsanto's main headquarters are in St. Louis, Missouri, but there are multiple locations in the U.S. and throughout the world, so a critical mass action could potentially be nationwide or global, depending on levels and locations of interest. Remember, in each one of these areas that I'm bringing up, you can go to the Thrive Movement website and actually sign up to be involved in any one of the specific categories. Another area is to promote the development, protection, and dissemination of new energy technologies. New energy offers the potential to free us from our dependence on oil and to power our homes, businesses, cars, and more with a universally abundant and clean energy source, sometimes referred to as free energy. You can learn more about that, again, on the Thrive website. One of the main problems with new energy is the lack of public awareness and exposure. Thrive is looking to fund a free energy demonstration and meaningful press coverage to allow people to see the devices for themselves. You don't have to commit any funds, but they're looking for a funding strategy. And if you're interested, you can call them or you can let them know by signing up on their website and they will be in touch with you. Thrive also recognizes that many legitimate new energy inventors have not participated in past demonstrations or expos due to security concerns and suppression. The intention is to simply see if there's enough interest to fund a legitimate conference and partner with new energy inventors if and when it is safe and viable to do so. Another protest would be to expose chemtrails. Planes are spraying toxic chemicals throughout the atmosphere, also known as chemtrails, causing air, soil, and human contamination. At some point in the future, we will look more deeply into chemtrails. The action to protest would likely take place at the main headquarters for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the NOAA, in Silver Spring, Maryland. Again, you can go to the website Thrive Movement to sign up if you're interested in that. One suggestion they have is to get footage of chemtrails, signs, pictures, and urge the news to cover chemtrails and the local weather reporter to highlight the phenomenon. One very basic goal is to shut down nuclear power plants around the U.S. and the world. The U.S. government protects nuclear power plants, so taxpayers are ultimately responsible for the consequences of any accidents, both financially and with their lives. There are safer alternatives. Germany plans to shut down all nuclear plants by 2022. Other countries can do the same. In the U.S., it will likely require simultaneous action for campaign finance reform, so candidates and elected officials respond to our demands rather than special interests and pass legislation for no more nuclear power. You can also join a group if you're interested in an internet freedom critical mass action. Go to thrivemovement.com and you can get signed up. And another critical mass issue is to stop and prevent the poisoning of indigenous communities. In the U.S., indigenous lands are being exploited and targeted by big business for resource extraction, nuclear dumping, and more. There are proposals for coal, oil, gold, and copper mines, coal bed methane, natural gas fracking, and nuclear storage that threaten these communities and the environment. This is a chance to stand up for Native American rights and show that we are committed not just to apologizing for past wrongs, but ending the violations that continue to this day. So in summary, one of the solutions that is critical is critical mass actions. Would you take part in a social change if 10,000, 100,000, or a million others joined you? With critical mass actions, you can do exactly that. These actions only happen when a critical mass of people have agreed to participate, and then the root level consciousness, the collective understanding, begins to radiate out everywhere in the environment. You increase the participation, you mobilize the masses, and you assure a meaningful impact. So I also recommend that these top 10 actions, which we have now gone over in the last few shows, can be reheard by going to the archives of the radio station to refresh your memory, or if you haven't listened to those shows, to actually find out about the 10, to get informed, to speak up and connect with others, to bank locally, to buy and invest responsibly, to join the movement to audit and end the Federal Reserve, to keep the internet fair and open, to support independent media, to support organic non-GMO farming, to require election and campaign finance reform, to advocate for renewable and free energy, and as we summed up today, to take part in critical mass actions. And we will continue in the next show. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.